Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale. Dungeons & Junkies presents Escape from Wolfhawk, Episode 17, Hazardous Healthcare.
I'm Matt.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Carrie.
Guys, welcome back to Dungeons & Junkies. It is our extreme pleasure and horror to welcome this week's DM, which of course is Chad. Run for cover, guys.
Why? Hello there, everyone, and welcome back to the terrible and wonderful world of my creation, which I have titled Escape from Wolfhawk. Before I go into the recap of what happened last week, let's go around the table and say who will be playing this evening. Let's start with Matt.
I am Matt, and I am playing Detective Wyatt Stanton of of the police department here in Wolfhawk, in Ganymede Square, and yeah.
Matt, if you can't remember the GCPD, get your head checked out, as you are a detective for the Ganymede City Police Department.
I am indeed. In fairness, he has been here for a long, long time, to be fair. 500 years, in fact. While Chad was doing that intro, by the way, it looked like he should be holding like a goblet of brandy, swirling it like, fantastic.
Well, with that little fun tidbit, we're going to go to Caitlin.
Hello, I'm the one person who doesn't give a dramatic intro in this, which is always fun. I play Damien, who is my warlock Air Genasi boy who doesn't give any fucks anymore. And is basically living on a death wish, and also doesn't like these new people that walked in. Strangers. Also, fuck you, Bart. Fuck you.
With that, we'll go to one of the other new people, and we will go to Alex. Who will you be playing today?
I will be playing Avery, the Azamara wizard, who hasn't been here for 500 years. In fact, he's been here for about 30 minutes, I reckon. So this is interesting.
That's true. As far as Avery knows, he's only been here for as long as he can remember. And then finally tonight, Carrie, who will you be playing?
Hi, I'm Carrie. I will be playing Varian Nathine, the warlock wood elf, who has to echo Damien's sentiment. Ugh, strangers. And also, ugh, Azamar.
You're welcome.
We're just having PTSD in the corner.
Yeah,
don't worry, we're just having a mental breakdown in the corner. You know, average Wednesday.
Yeah.
The normal day-to-day life of every Ganymede resident. But yes, with that, let us recap what happened last time on Escape from Wolfhawk. And this recap is going to be a short one because, folks, last time we went around Ganymede and were introduced to some new faces for some of our old players who have found new faces, aka Wyatt Stanton, detective of Ganymede City Police Department. Also, Avery, the wizard who was woken up on Isla Diablo with no memory of what has occurred since his death. And then we also had fever dreams from Damien, who knows if these things were real or not. They seem to have affected the real life world, so they must in some way have been real. And then also a fever dream from Virion himself, where we got to finally meet Dandelion for the first time. We also were introduced to Talassa, the merfolk. I guess bounty hunter slash job doer is the best way to put it, as they are hired out by Vicious to do any and all sorts of kinds of jobs, such as relic collecting or any other thing that Vicious might pay them to do. Our party found themselves, after we met all of them, meeting up at the hospital here in Ganymede Square. And we found themselves on the 15th floor on the terminal care / coma unit in a room where Virion and Damien both woke up for the first time since the huge explosion at the aquarium, being conscious for more than 3 days straight. But we come back into this hospital room as Virion was inspecting the corpse / husk of Cal. Suddenly, the alarm sounded throughout the hospital. Containment breach, containment breach. Over and over, as large shutters closed on the windows and annoying yellow alarm lights and alarm sounds started going off. And as this happened, suddenly, the three corpses, aka husks, of our fallen party members suddenly sat up, echoing the alarm, yellow light in their eyes for a moment, for suddenly stopping the alarm sound and their eyes all turning to a gray static. And Cal's husk, closest to Virion, lunged straight at Virion, beginning combat. We already rolled initiative at the end of last episode, so I already have that all in the books. But right away, what I will need is, Virion, can you please make me a dexterity saving throw?
Okay. That's 19 all in.
Virion, you were staring directly at this husk that was Cal before, and as it sat up, it gave you a start, but you quickly collected your senses, and as it dived directly at you, you actually just dropped to the floor as it dived directly over your head, hitting the ground and kind of skittering like a rabid creature before it stands back up to its height, not saying anything, no mouth being able to see, just the static eyes, just as it stares at you. We now enter combat though. And first up is everybody's favorite guy, Bart. Because yes, Bart is in the room. And Bart, seeing this, what the fuck is going on right now? All right, whatever. All right, ha! And you see Bart reaches forward both hands and gold energy surrounds them as three golden eldritch blast beams shoot straight out of his hands and launch directly towards the Cal husk that tried to attack Virion. And we will see. The beams, boom, lance into this husk that it was, pushing it a good 5 feet towards or away from all of you. And it does take 23 points. Nope. It takes 12 points of damage as this husk just kind of skids on its feet and readjusts itself, standing back up and staring at Bart. Seemingly injured, you can see that parts of the like husk's black skin has been ripped from it as the golden beams lanced into it, but still standing and staring now at the rest of you. With that, though, we go to Damien. Damien, what would you like to do? Currently, you are about 15 feet from the two husks that are still just sitting up from their beds. And you are at this point, I would say, 10 feet from the other husk that has already been attacking.
Okay. What I'm going to do is firstly say I want this on record that this is nothing to do with me, Bart. So don't give me anything later. I need that clarified. And I'm going to look at the one that was... I'm going to look at the one that was Tam, and I'm going to launch a chromatic orb at it. Because Damien got a level in sorcerer now. Fear my son.
All right. So tell other folks what Chromatic Orb does.
This is one of my friend's favorite spells, which is my eternal nightmare, but I literally launch an orb of magical energy that's about like 4 inches at a creature I can see, and I can choose what kind of damage it is between acid, cold, fire, lightning, poison, or thunder. And it's a ranged spell, and if I hit, it does 3d8, which is lovely.
All right, roll to hit then.
14 plus 7, 21.
21 does hit. Roll damage, please.
I choose acid. It's like the worst version of Pokemon. I choose acid.
Have you made the bid of maybe?
15. I aim right for its non-existent face because I want to melt it.
The husk that's sitting that used to be Tam on the bed, the orb that Damien produces, green and vile energy, just launches straight, splashes into this face. No reaction at all as the static eyes keep going, but you can see parts of the black husk start to just melt away from its face, but it doesn't move at all, just stares straight at you. What was the damage again? Sorry.
15.
Fantastic. All right. With that, though, we then go to Avery. Avery, what would you like to do debuting for the first time here on Dungeons & Junkies?
Right. So the first thing I'm going to do is close the door because I didn't really move around in this room. So I'm guessing I'm quite close to the door. So I'm going to shut the door so none of them can get out.
That's a free object interaction. I'll just say Avery quickly grabs the sliding door and just slams it shut behind him.
And what I will do, seeing the Chromatic Orb do work, I think I'll do the same. And just use Chromatic Orb on it as well.
Nice.
Because I fucking love this spell, I'll be honest.
Plagiarism! I was going to use this as well on my turn.
Oh, God. For the record, no.
Which one are you going for?
Tam.
The Tam one as well? All right.
Yeah.
Roll the hit.
23.
23 hits. Roll the hit.
8.
Are you also... acid as well. Damage. Avery, yeah. Right after seeing this acid ball, Damien, you look to your left and see the exact same acid ball being formed by this Asimar before he whips it, and once again, just a this green necrotic energy just explodes across this face, melting more of the husk away. But still, no skin beneath it, still just the black exterior. But you can see that layers of this have been melted away, but it doesn't move. Just the static eyes keeps staring towards you from the bed.
Damien doesn't know whether to feel flattered or offended.
Would you like to do anything else? Use your movement to do anything?
I think I'll leave that. I haven't used my bonus action, have I?
Nope.
All right, I'll do that just so I've got a bit more AC and activate Blade Song.
Fantastic.
So my AC is now 19.
You see Avery, the rest of you, reach up the prosthetic arm and suddenly just a light kind of illuminates throughout it. And you see just kind of an odd energy course itself over his entire body as he stands there after launching the Chromatic Orb. All right.
Marvel's always will be in touch.
With that, though, if that will end your turn, we will move on to Virion. What would you like to do, Virion?
I was also going to cast Chromatic Orb.
Virion, you are currently like 2 feet from the Tam body because you are in between these three beds. The Cal was in the middle. So you are very, like, right next to this Tam husk, and then at most 6 feet from the LB husk that is also still sitting on the bed, just so you know.
I feel like this is a gang of attack, because I was going to go for Tam.
For context, Ailey is ill, so can't see us all attacking their beloved ex-character.
But shh, we don't have to tell them that.
Yay, wizard spit.
All right, well, Viren, you can then roll to hit.
That's a dirty 20.
A dirty 20 does hit. Are you also choosing acid damage?
I feel like I'm making a very bad mistake now, because I was going to pick fire instead.
No, fire is fine.
Okay. Shit, I need another D8.
Yeah, roll for damage.
I'm just quickly reading all my dice sets. It's 14.
You standing right next to Virian stands back up from the floor, turns to see these two acid balls just splash into the face of this Tam husk, turns themselves, creates a fireball of this prismatic, and since they are so close, just basically slam dunks it right into this Tam husk's face. And it just, the fire just engulfs the entire head and landing on the shoulders, letting a little bit of the shoulders still aflame, but still not moving. And it just turns to stare at you, Virian, the static eyes. Just, you can see though that this husk is cracking at points now. The fire is definitely burning hotly on this shoulder and the face is beaten down already to almost just a skeletal structure as it's burned away from the acid to, like, there's no cheeks even in the facial structure. All right, though.
That's only a little bit disturbing.
Virian, would you like to do anything else here? You can clearly use your movement if you would like. It is halved, as I said, you did drop prone to evade the dexterity or the first attack.
I think I'm going to stay where I am for a minute.
Fantastic. Okay. That brings us to the Cal husk, standing away from the rest and in the middle of the group. The static eyes staring back at Bart, who attacked it. It lunges straight at Bart, just full hands out, no emotion on its face, just the static eyes, and just a single jump like a panther. Bart is immediately tackled to the ground as this husk boom, levels him and is on top of him before delivering a massive just fist into Bart's face. And you see boom, the orange tiefling like jaw, like shudders as this husk delivers a massive fist into it. And Bart takes 12 points of bludgeoning damage as this husk now has him lying, or is on top of him, so has him grappled on the ground and delivers a huge punch into his face.
Is it bad that all four of us were smirking at that?
Okay, and I swear I rolled for this, but just so you know, all three of the husks are about to go in a row. So we go now to the Tam husk that was just pelted in the face with all this acid and then fire. Its body cracking and not looking very good, but its static eyes just staring at Virian. And it reaches out, and we are going to do an opposed grapple check as it reaches for your throat with both hands.
So, what do I do, sorry?
You will roll a strength, and it is strength versus strength here, whoever wins this.
Come on. It's 18. Virian's strength is flat, so I've got nothing to add.
Virian, this Tam husk turns, like, and its body unnaturally turns on the bed because it hadn't turned its body after just getting pelted in the face with acid or fire. It just turns head, unnaturally turns towards you and lunges with both hands towards your neck. But once again, You're prepared for this shit. You already saw the first one come at you, and you basically, like a matador, just go, ole! As you dive to the side, and this Tam husk dives forward and takes out the bed that Cal was on, and now is on the ground, kind of entwined in this bed. But then we finally go to the LB husk, sitting on its bed. It turns its static eyes and stares at Virion once again, right next to you. This one, it doesn't dive fully at you. It stands up from the bed and immediately comes and takes two swings at you with both arms. And this is a shorter one, so it's kind of going for your like chestal area, as LB wasn't that big. It takes two swings.
Yeah, LB was right. A little guy.
One of those was a 2, the other was a natural 20.
Oh, fuck a duck.
The first blow, after you olayed the Tam, it literally takes one step forward, jumps off of the overturned bed, and like Superman punches at you. It completely misses as you quickly dive to the side, but then with a haymaker coming, its right fist comes and clocks you square in the jaw. And Virion, you will take 18 points of bludgeoning damage as this husk fist rocks you directly into your chest, and you can feel two of your ribs kind of crack as you have no armor to protect you right now, and the husk fist just rocks into your body.
It would have thought LB was more useful dead than alive.
Hold on.
Thanks, Alex.
Well, Rain's dead.
Okay. With that, though, that husky used whatever it had for movement and its two attacks right there. That brings us to Detective Wyatt. What would you like to do, Wyatt?
The first concern he's going to have is the doctor in the room still?
No, the doctor was banished. Bart used banishment on the doctor.
Okay.
Dr. McSteamy.
I wanted to make sure that I was right on that. Right.
He was yeeted.
Yeet, indeed. Okay.
Of course, dice.
How close are the husks to us? One is mounted Bart, and the other two are just in front of Vivian, I'm guessing.
Phrasing, Matthew. Phrasing.
The one that is in the mount position, aka UFC style, is directly next to you at this point because you hadn't moved from standing next to Bart after you'd entered the room. The other two at this point are a good, I would say, 15, 20 feet, as the room's a pretty big room.
Okay. If Bart's the one that's being pinned, I don't really care about Bart, to be brutally honest. Why I'm more concerned about Virion and Damien, because, you know, they have no way of, they have their weapons or defense apart from their spells. How close is Virion?
Virion at this point would also be about 20 feet from you, as they are directly next to the other two husks.
Okay. Can I? I'm going to do something sensible for a change. I'm going to go to Virion, say, hold tight, and then Misty step backwards 30 feet with Virion away from the husks.
All right.
Assuming that they're willing.
I mean, there's a whole point about being grabbed by a stranger, but if it gets them farther away from, like, crispy dead ex-friends, then yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I will say, do you have access to Misty Step right now, Matthew?
Yes, I do. Actually, it's in my normal mode, yes. In my normal form, yes.
Alright.
Oh god, he's a Power Ranger.
Oh god, he's going to spend 10 minutes introducing himself before he actually fights anything.
Alright, so then that will end your turn, because that's unless you have a bonus action you would like to...
Not when I've used the second level spell, no.
Fantastic. Alright, that will bring us then to Talassa, who is also still in the room. Talassa standing at their full 8'3" height, seeing Bart being, you know, taken down, and Bart is the one who pays their contract, pulls the massive trident from their back and uses the Bloody Mary to, as basically like a baseball bat, just swing to try and just whack this husk right in the face. Talassa, doom, right into the static eyes and face of this husk. The side of this three-pronged trident crushes into it, knocking it rolling 10 feet backwards on the ground. Talassa will then use their bonus attack to jump into the air and try and stab the now prone husk that is on the ground. Talassa jumping in the air 8'3" gets a good amount of height before turning the trident in midair and slamming down into this husk, all three prongs driving into the chest of the cow husk. Just and the husk is pinned to the ground and takes 34 points of damage as they are just massively hit by a critical strike from this three-pronged trident. And though it doesn't make a noise at all and doesn't even attempt to wriggle, you can see with the trident going through it that this husk is definitely injured, but it is still kicking right now. Okay, that brings us all the way back around to the top of the order. And that means we go back to Bart, who scrambles back to his feet, holding his face, just, son of a bitch, die! And once again at the prone husk, launches Eldritch Blast, all three beams firing at it. The two beams that fly out immediately from his hands crush into this grounded husk, driving into it before you just see the actual, because he shot it directly at the head of this husk. The force of the Eldritch Blast literally removes the head from the husk as the gold beams tear through it. And you see as the head begins to skitter across the ground, the static in the eyes shuts out. As the husk just dies there on the ground, the body still pinned by Talassa. All right. Well, that will take us to Damien.
Okay. Also, fun fact, Misty Step is a bonus action. I have it. I just glanced over and went, oh, it's a bonus action. Just so you know for later.
Oh, thank you.
What am I going to do? General. See, I keep having a spell I want to use, but you keep making enemies that I'm fairly certain it won't apply to. Jerk. I'm going to pull out Firebolt. Why not? I'm just going to fry the... I'm going to aim at Tam as well. Get one of them out of the way.
We already did kill the one, and there are only the two left. Tam is lying prone on the ground, so you do get advantage on this strike, range strike.
Yeet. Time to set you on fire. With advantage, that's 25.
That hits. Was that a critical?
No. +7. Charisma boy. It's 2d10 fire damage. I'm going to burn a boy. That is 12 fire, and anything that's flammable on it is on fire now.
The little bit of fire that was on the Tam husk had gone out as they tackled the bed and were kind of entangled in it. Damien just two firebolt launch into this like tangled up husk who's in this bed. The bed itself catches fire as this firebolt lances into it. And though once again, no sound is made, you see the husk like wriggle a bit as slowly though, the static in its eyes goes out. And you see it just kind of go limp, still tangled in the bed that it tackled.
Yeah. Canonically, it's black fire because I'm edgy.
Black fire still rages from this bed as well. It doesn't go out. This bed is just now a little bit of a bonfire in the edge of the room.
Marshmallows.
Okay. With that, though, we go to, unless you'd like to do anything else, Damien, we move on to Avery.
So it's just OB left, or it's Midget Husk.
There is just the LB Husk left that is now right next to Virion after delivering that massive body shot.
What do I have? I look over to see it and I'm going to cast Lightning Bolt at it.
All right. And what does Lightning Bolt do?
Lightning Bolt, what, wrong spell.
And a stroke can it be cast indoors?
I think so, because I'm pretty sure you like shoot it from your hand rather than up, rather than the sky. A stroke of lightning forming in a line of 100 feet long and 5 feet wide blasts out from you in a direction you choose. A creature in that line must make a dexterity saving throw or take 8d6 lightning damage. And flammable objects are lit.
Okay. That for sure can happen. I will say there is no way in hell that you can aim this that you're not also going to entail Virion in.
I thought I was Misty Steps away.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. I forgot. Yep. Never mind. Yeah. Misty stepped away. Never mind. So yeah, you're totally good.
First time I've ever used a support spell. Ever.
He has to make a deck save.
All right. And what am I trying to beat here?
16.
Ooh.
Did a thunder step with Dakota's unconscious self before as well.
True, but that was more because, you know, damage
that
as well.
That is a failure. Okay, how much damage?
31.
I think it's dead for guys.
Avery, still after raising his prosthetic arm into the air and the light covering him, the weird energy, just puts his hand out straight and just a massive crack of lightning just fires from his hand, ripping into this husk, knocking it backwards. It bounces off the wall a little bit and falls to a knee. It stands back up. You can see, though, a massive portion of its chest has been ripped away as now the other bed that wasn't a light next to the LB is now a fire as well. And this black husk with the static eyes now stands between two flames, looking very badly beaten up, but no emotion shown, and just standing, staring towards all of you. All right, would you like to do anything else, Avery?
No, that's it for my turn.
Okay. With that, though, they dead. They dead. The LB husk bathed in the black flame, and now the natural flame on the other side from the two hospital beds stands there, before charging and diving directly at Avery. Avery, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
I think I get advantage with Blade Song. I might be wrong though. I don't actually know. Mind if I look that up?
I believe so.
Sounds yeah. Right.
Fan did, so I think you do.
Alright. That's not very good though. 16 was my highest.
Avery, you barely have time to lower your hand after firing this lightning bolt before this husk is upon you and tackles you to the ground, and you take only 4 points of bludgeoning damage, but you are now grappled to the ground, and it is going to take another swing at you with its fist. Avery, after it tackles you, it quickly gets itself in position, and the LB husk drives a fist right into your middle of your chest, cracking you right in the sternum, taking away your... You feel the breath taken from you as you take 12 points of bludgeoning damage from this husk. Just boom! Basically delivering a hammer blow, trying to CPR you to death.
The irony.
Okay.
I'm alive, still.
You are now grappled by this final husk. But that brings us to Detective Wyatt. What you got this time?
So, tackled to the ground is Avery, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically still right next to you. You all haven't really moved too much. You moved back with Misty Step, but you're still right by the door.
Okay. I'm going to shoot it from range.
Fuck with this one, he fucking shoots me in the head.
So,
because of position, you don't have to take disadvantage or anything like that. It's not looking at you. The static eyes are still staring straight down. So you can take this shot with just normal.
Now okay, cool. Kiss.
Okay, I'm going for a headshot.
Okay.
Be nice knowing you, Avery.
Right, if you roll a one, I'm driving up to your house to slap you.
Okay, am I mixed out to this? I think I am, aren't I? That is 19.
A 19 hits. Please roll me damage.
Okay, damage if memory serves me correct. That is 7.
You see from Detective Wyatt pulls out from his holster a pistol, just holds it straight forward and doof, quick shot. The bullet just rockets right into the head of this husk and drives directly through, and the head just kind of snaps back for a second. Static eyes, though, just now stare at you, Wyatt, not off, just staring at you, no emotion.
Oh, great.
Oh, no.
Would you like to do anything else?
I think, because I'm an Eldritch Knight, I think I can carve a cantrip as a bonus action.
Believe so.
Oh, wow.
Because I have war magic, yes.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to cast Chill Touch.
All right, and that obviously is a touch spell, but you do have
It's at will. It's a range of 120 feet.
Huh. It's floating touch.
Oh, yeah, not that. I was thinking of a different... Yep, obviously, this is the hand from the... All right, yeah.
Spooky hand.
Yep.
I've got a funny hand. Thing. It's not going to do much damage, I feel, but it might do. So it's... okay, so I'm plussing 5 to this. Okay. That's 23.
That definitely hits.
Okay, so that's 2d8 necrotic damage. 2d8.
you see the ghostly hand launch out and grabs this husk around the throat. And once again, there's no emotion from it ever. You see it kind of wriggle for a second, but it, once again, the static eyes just still stare towards you, Wyatt, as it still has Avery pinned to the ground, but it does not move, just staring at you.
Okay, a curious question. Is it undead, technically?
It is not.
It really, because it has this advantage against me on attack rolls, that's all. If it does, so.
It is not technically undead.
Okay, that's fine. That's cool. Okay, that's the end of my turn.
Fantastic. We then go to the final person in the initiative order, Talassa, who...
Do I not get a turn in this order?
Virion, did I skip you?
Yeah.
Oh yes. My god, I'm the worst. Virion, we go to you.
I'm fucking offended.
You cannot skip the sparkly man.
I made a notch on my sheet that I shouldn't have done. That's what happened there.
Okay, to my knowledge, it's not going to be that great, but I was originally planning on using Scorching Ray, but I feel like saving the few spell slots I have would be a good idea, so I'm just going to Agonizing Blast it.
I mean, that's always solid.
Good call. Roll the hit.
And it is two beams, isn't it? Double check that. That's dirty 20 for one and 22 for the other.
They both hit.
Yay.
Yas, Queen, yas.
Virion does things.
Yas, Queen.
Okay, that's a 10, a 6, and my charisma modifier, so that's a plus 5.
21.
Yeah.
But both of them get plus 5. It's two separate.
Oh, do they?
So 20. Yeah.
Okay, 6.
Yeah. Virion, in your sparkly hospital gown, goodness, after being misty stepped to the back of the room, you step past Bart really quick and both hands forward, Aurora beams launch and they crash into this husk. And you see as the Aurora beams just like drive and pierce right through the chest of this husk. And you see the static eyes slowly shut down as the husk has been defeated and falls to one side as it has been off the body of Avery. And you all exit combat.
Sorry about that.
You all right, Virion? It got you quite good.
I've probably had worse.
Yeah, I mean, we died recently.
We're really good at dying, aren't we?
Yeah. Bart, you dead or are you alive?
I'm fine right now. What the fuck are with these alarms? What is... Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. This is... Okay. Oh, shit. You see Bart snaps his fingers and suddenly Dr. McSteamy appears back in the room. And Bart looks at Talassa and goes, all right, this isn't going to be good for either of us, but at least we'll be out of here. I'm paying you. Get over here now. We're gone. And you see Talassa looks at all of you, looks at Bart, looks back at all of you and goes, sorry, they're paying my contract. And Talassa walks over to Bart and you see Bart whip out his wand and you see him make the same motions and Bart casts banishment on himself and Talassa. And you see them blink out of existence. And you are now, alarm still blaring, now left in the room with a fire Ganassi named Dr. McSteamy.
Bloody coward.
Can I cast Detect Magic on one of the husks, see if it emanates anything that might help us?
you cast Detect Magic and feel nothing. It's like you're looking at a piece of charcoal as you try and get any magical resonance off of these husks. There is nothing at all.
Whatever did this, it's not magic.
Doctor. I've been all farm for not as long as some people, but a long time. I've never seen that before. How long has this been happening?
What are you talking about? Why are the alarms going off? What happened? Where I was here, they had just woken up. What is going on?
Stay on task here, Doctor, otherwise stuff could go wrong, okay? Look, the alarm, we'll get to that in a second. These husks just attacked us, okay? Does that normally happen?
The husks? The husks came back to
life? Yes.
Life?
Well, not really life.
They attacked us. They got up, were choking. I'm guessing your name, Viren, thing is you called them that. Quite badly. So, yeah. Came back to life, effectively. Attacked. Well,
at the same time as the alarms.
Yes. What does the alarm signify, by the way?
Yellow light, blaring alarm.
You see the hair of this fire Ganassi is like rippling fire right now. It looks like you can see there is so much anxiety that it's being transferred like into the hair. You can just see it as he's staring about and he sees the shutters down and suddenly, once again, containment breach. Containment breach.
Yeah, what the voice said.
What was in containment, Doctor?
You see the red face of this Ganassi just go pale to almost a pink that stares. No. We have to go. We have to get down to the lab. We have to get down there now.
Okay, I grab McSteamy by like his shirt, slam him against the wall and go, fucking explain it now.
What I see.
You see as he's like holding your hand. Well, we had to look. There was pieces of the black stuff coming off of all of you, and we took it down to the lab, and we were experimenting and trying to find out what it was, what was happening to all of you. We were trying to save your lives.
Oh, God.
They took the remains of the Taminator, didn't they? Oh, the fucking Asimov. Jesus.
We didn't take a body. I don't know. No, just pieces. Like, you know, you were all pieces of you were falling off, and you had a big chunk just came off, and that before today you were like them. Like you were a husk as well.
Right, what's the fastest way to get to this lab?
Oh, we're not in any way to get to it quickly. We're in the right tower right now, and there's no elevators. It's stairs all the way down.
That's fine. I have legs.
Could you please put me down? Once again, we were just trying to save your life. We were just trying to save you.
Have you said it? Have you told me everything you know?
It's everything I know right now. I know that there's a containment breach and something bad's happening.
What did they say when... What did they tell you when they brought us in?
They didn't tell us anything when they brought you in. They brought in five husks of corpses and said, see if you can save them. It's what always happens when Vicious's men bring people in.
Who brought us?
Make a note of that.
Who brought... It was, I don't know, some of those... Warforged or something. I wasn't here when you were brought in.
I just kind of drop him. Not nicely, I just kind of let go.
Thuds to the ground, staring up at you, his hair now kind of just a mottled little bit of a fire as he like sits on the ground staring at the husks. This wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah, well, they came back to life again. Or in LB's case, again. I don't know what the other two were.
LB.
I point at each of the husks. I go, LB, Cal, Tam.
Arian's examining what's left of a Tam husk.
Oof.
I think they were the closest thing I had to friends, which is a delight.
Arian, you can make an inspection roll. I'm gonna say investigation. That's why inspection sounded so weird.
I mean,
inspection.
Inspection.
My investigation's flat. My smart gay boy is not bright.
Beering, you look over this now corpse that has two perfectly drilled holes where your Eldritch Blast burrowed their way through. And you, as you look down and see through the holes, you realize that there is nothing left human here. It's all black husk. You see through to the core that whatever this was, it completely encapsulated and destroyed any remnants of what would have been your friends that was here. That these were full and total just husks.
So, Doctor, you're saying that when Therion and Damien came in as well, they look exactly like that. They look exactly like that. And so inside those husks, you got to be the lucky ones, I guess. Really lucky if that's the case.
You see the doctor start to do like some deep like meditative breathing as he sits there and closes his eyes for a second, and then his hair goes back to its normal just fiery self.
Right.
As he slowly stands up and opens his eyes. Okay. Yes, when all five of them came in here, they were all husks. It wasn't as progressed as this. You could still see remnants of the flesh. It was not opaque, as you would say. It seemed that they were encased in some kind of almost cocoon when they were first brought in. And as the days passed, these two seemed to progress and seemed to come out of said cocoons, while the other three bodies that we were brought just continued to darken and harden.
That's not morbid at all. Do they still have their collars around their necks?
The neck bomb
thing. Yeah.
I thought it was implanted in, Yana.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm sorry. Neck bombs?
No, I was asking DM.
Oh, do Virian and Damien still have them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. We'll get to what that is on your neck in a moment, you two. Doctor, where are their clothes? I'm guessing that may have detonated inside those cocoons then, which probably yours didn't, I'm guessing. I'm just guessing, I'm not a science guy.
I mean, I had a conversation with the void, so who bloody knows what happened in there?
This is all farm, who knows anything, to be fair. Where's their stuff?
Outside the room, we usually put a box of anything that the people were brought in with.
Right. Show us that box, and then let's get to the stairs. Because if we've got to sort this so we can get out of here, let's do that.
Okay. Yes, of course. I am at your disposal. I am more than willing to help. I've been in Wolf Farm.
Access to the lab.
I'm sorry, what?
Do you have access to the lab, or is it like a closed...
Oh, no. I'm one of the head doctors here. I have access to every part of this hospital.
Cool. Means I don't have to blow the doors down.
Right, well, I'm going to tell you all that I don't know what's happening outside this room, but if the hospital designated it this large of threat to bring the shutters down, we should be very careful as we exit into the hospital. I do not know what awaits us.
Aya, can I resummon Julius now that Bart's not here?
Julius appears happily on your shoulder.
It's a good moment.
You may call me, my first name is Dorian. Dorian McSteamy, but please call me Dorian.
Doctor, let's just get down there.
Yes. The alarms stop blaring constantly, but the yellow lights continue to flash as Dorian takes one more look around the room and takes a quick look at the shutters one more time. I also warn any of you, do not attempt to teleport out of here. Those shutters are specifically warded against this. They are meant to keep whatever is in here, in here. This is a code level black event for the hospital, so you are aware.
Why are the lights yellow then?
The black lights tend to make all of the white gowns into a very fluorescent color that hurts many people's eyes. We tested it for many years, but just didn't stick with the people.
I'm gonna open the door.
Before we leave the room, looking over Cal's husk one last time, I guess there's still nothing I can take with me. Okay.
Damien, seeing this, actually, Virion, I still have the guitar Cal made me at the hotel.
Would you mind if I looked at it? I mean,
yeah, when we get out. Maybe you can teach me how to play it. I don't bloody know.
I'm not good at guitars. I know other instruments, but not guitars.
I dabbled back home.
Shut up, cop.
Baron's a classical musician. He knows violin and piano, but that's about it.
Damien knows violence, and that's it.
Violence and pain.
That's my music.
Also, if Baron gets his shoes back, he instantly becomes like 2-3 inches taller because his shoes have heels on them.
Damien.
One little fact.
As you slide open the door to your guys' room and step outside, you see right to the right a large, tall plastic container that has a lid on it, and as you open it, you can find inside all of the clothes and such that you were found with at the end of the rest of their life at the aquarium.
Does it have like the box thing we were given and like my mystery gem?
The items that you would have, we'll say that like the box was left back at the hotel with those kind of things. This would have been your adventuring gear that would be in here. And all that would have survived, nothing that was made of cloth survived the actual explosion. Your magical items would have survived, and also your armor, as that is more strongly made than other things. But things such as your pants, or, you know, tops or those kind of things would have been disapparated by the explosion.
Might be awkward and ask about shoes because they're usually made of leather and the like.
You can keep your shoes.
Yes.
Damien doesn't put on shoes and pulls on a shirt and nothing else.
Does that mean, sorry, do I get my ring of shielding back?
You do have your ring of shielding again.
Yay.
Yeah, my goggles.
Baron feels slightly less naked now.
You can both make an investigation check here real quick.
Brit.
You both, as you're grabbing all of your gear, both of you get these like pangs of memory and you both try to see into there if there's anything from your fallen comrades. And you quickly realize that there is nothing in there at all from, it's only your two's items.
Mm-hmm. Damien doesn't care. Damn, Alvarian. Gotta go.
Okay.
Come on then, lead on, Mr. Detective.
Right. Doctor, where's the stairs? Take it down.
The five of you now step out. The rest of you all step out into the hallway. The main lights have all gone out, and the only light illuminating this long hallway is the yellow strobe lights of the alarm going off constantly. No sound, just the flashing of the lights. And you are in, at this point, a completely empty hospital hallway. There is chaos amongst. You can see that there are things that have been knocked to the side. You are all the way at the far, far end of this long hallway. And as Dr. Dorian walks out, he goes, we must just, it's one long hallway to the other end, to the staircase.
How hard can that be?
Is it a straight line?
It is a straight line. You can see as you look off down this long, about 60-foot hallway, that there is a sign that says stairs on the top of the wall at the far side. But blocking your path, there is a large, looks like stand that is also still illuminated. You can't tell what's on it at this moment, but you can see that something is illuminated on it.
Come on then, cannon fodder. That's what I'm calling the two new people.
Charming.
Arian smiles a little bit. This is the Damien he knows.
Is Wyatt making much of an effort to lead, or?
To be fair, Wyatt is sort of here against his will. To be really
I'm
honest.
Mildly startled by the half-naked Ganassi.
Oh, I guess I'll walk in front then.
Yeah, Wyatt may have been Wyatt may be hit over 500 years old, but he still has the mentality and appearance of a 19, 20-year-old.
He's just the kid who doesn't want to grow up.
The kid who never grew up, quite literally.
I guess I'll go on ahead then.
All right, so we're all going to start heading down the hallway.
Yeah.
Can I get a perception check from everyone, please?
Dirty 20.
19 all in.
16.
9.
Detective Wyatt, you're kind of just pissed at this whole situation that you're in right now. You're making sure your gun's still looking good at this moment, and just what the hell did the chief constable get your ass into this time is all you can think about as you are taking up the rear of this party, making sure that no one's coming up behind you.
Yeah.
The rest of you, however, as you are walking down this hallway, begin to just kind of peek into the doors you go past. And as is the case in most hospitals, all the doors have a bit of glass so you can quickly look into them. And as you're walking by, you quickly realize that this is the coma/long care unit. As you walk by, you see multiple different kinds of creatures in many different states of suspended animation in these rooms, some in crystallized forms with many monitors hooked up to them, some just seemingly humans with feeding tubes and those kinds. You see abstract monsters seemingly held in weird positions, but all left behind. The whole floor is silent, except for the beeping of these machines as you go by and the blinking of these strobe lights over and over. Avery, you're the first one to reach the large stand, which you realize is actually a hospital diagram that all hospitals tend to have that tell you, hey, this is where you are, and this is, you know, how you can get maybe where you need to go. As you walk up to it, you quickly see the hospital diagram. The large blue box designating what floor you are currently on.
This is a big building. Jesus.
Avery, as I said, you reach this map first, and as the rest of the group catches up, Dr. Dorian steps forward, pointing to the map. We are here in Wright Tower 15. We must take the stairs all the way down to General Care. Then, once we reach General Care floor, we must ascend to the main stairwell to then keep going down to the ground floor. Once we reach the ground floor, we can take the elevator that goes to the basement levels and head to the lab. And he pulls out a key card. This key card is the only way that we will have access to the lab floors and the elevator on the ground floors. Otherwise, we will not be able to reach the laboratories.
Can I take the can I take the key card?
You can make me a sleight of hand check, please.
He's not really being subtle. He's just like, oink.
It is a lanyard that's around his neck. I will say he is just holding it up to you. So
that is a 16.
Damien, you reach out and grab this key card and yank it forwards, and you pull the doctor with you as he stumbles forward, and the lanyard doesn't break, and you now just have, he kind of stands up with you holding the key card in your hand, and he stares at you.
Yeah, I don't think you'll happen that.
Okay. You can have it. I'm sorry. And he pulls the lanyard off of his neck and kind of takes a step back. If you trust, I'm only here to help. I've taken an oath, and though I might be in a place that many continue to be a hellhole, I am just here to help.
Yeah, you're fairly good nature attitude is the reason I haven't killed you. That doesn't mean I trust you.
Completely understand. Completely understand. Right. Well, should we press on then? We have many, many stairs to go before we reach our destination. You all walk around this giant hospital diagram to the large door stairs just above the top. Avery, still taking the lead, opens the door and you walk out into this massive stairwell with a spiraling staircase that goes down. Well, I guess there's nothing to do but to begin to go. And you all begin to descend the stairwell. As you do, you reach the 14th floor, and Dr. Dorian, yes, this is, of course, for the burn unit. Anyone who suffers from any extreme burns, this is where we would treat them. You keep going down. You do pass a quick glance into the window of the door to see a deserted hallway, the same kind of chaos that was on the top floor, or the floor above that you were on. Carts overturned and things just strewn about, but no bodies or creatures at all. Just the flashing yellow lights illuminating the long hallway. You keep descending down the stairs. The 13th floor, this is for limb regeneration. Anyone who's had a dismemberment, this is where we would treat them. I'm sorry, I'm trying to keep myself calm and sometimes talking helps me get through this, so I'm sorry if I'm annoying you all, but I just need to talk to keep myself going right now. Floor 12.
As we're going down, Wyatt asks the doctor a question. Seeing you want to keep talking, Doc, how many patients are in this hospital?
You mean at one time?
Right now.
Well, we generally serve, in the millions? We serve the entire, as you well know, Detective, being a dimension that has so many access points, we serve many different ilk and dimensions here at this hospital. So at any given moment or time, it could be anywhere between 1 million to 3 million patients and residents and doctors and staff. The Ganymede General is its own basic living, breathing city.
Yes, that was what I was worried about.
How long have you worked here in the city?
500 years, but I've never had to come here, thankfully.
How have you never been injured in the line of duty? You just do paperwork all day.
I have a lot of paperwork. I still have. Anyway,
floor what? 11, diseases.
Remind me to not go.
You missed one.
Yeah, I dropped him.
You keep walking. Avery, you still in the lead?
Yeah, I guess.
Avery, I need you to make me a dexterity saving throw.
All right. 16 again.
Avery, as you are taking this winding staircase that follows along the wall, suddenly you take a step forward and you feel a rumble. Just... And you look down. And as you look down, you quickly realize that below you, as you look about, there is no more staircase at all on the left wall. And as you... Suddenly, the floor beneath you drops out completely. And with a reaction that you don't even know, your adamantium arm lashes out and grabs onto the edge, cracking into the stone and literally grappling you onto the side as the floor beneath you falls out and it just... You feel as the stone crumbles as it hits the ground far, far below.
How far down is it?
It is, let's see, at this point, it would be, you can't see the bottom. At this moment, you only hear the reverberations of the stone as it hits the ground. You can't actually see the impact at all as the stone disappears into darkness.
Can I send Julius down to see if, like, it still comes out us at a floor or not?
Definitely. Julius, as Damien is standing farther up on the stairs and sees this collapse, make me an investigation check. Now, I just want to say inspection every time. Make me an investigation check, please.
Where's Julius's stats? There he is. There's my good boy. He got a 17. What a good boy.
Julius launches from your shoulder. Dive bombs straight down this hole. 20, 40, 60, 80. 100, 120, 140, 150, whoosh, swoops up at the last second as it closes to the ground and whoosh, with a flap through Julius's eyes, you see bodies and carnage and stone. And the walls themselves down here seem to have cracked. And as Julius flaps his wings, the dust still remaining from this last huge piece of stone crushing down and splattering a goblin body that was here on the ground. Julius sees no doors anymore at this point. The wreckage from all of these stairs collapsing has made a good 10-foot tomb of stone rubble here at the base of this stairwell. As Julius flaps a couple more times before reaching in a twirling pattern, coming back up to land gently on your shoulder.
Good boy. Sadly, going down there is a no-go.
Mm. All right.
There's no doors. It's all just being buried in stone. And also, I'm pretty sure you guys, like, you can probably fly, bird boy. But, you know.
Yeah.
Don't think the detective and Dorian can.
No, I can't fly. No.
Is my arm still stuck in the wall?
You have not pulled yourself back up. You are just hanging there having this conversation with Damien at this point.
I have not helped you up either. I'm just like...
All right, I guess I pull myself back up then.
Avery, with surprising ease, you were always apt at magic and everything like that, but you've never been the most athletic of all the people. With surprising ease, though, you just easily one arm pull yourself up to a one arm handstand to easily step back up onto the still remaining step.
I resist the urge to shove him off.
Don't learn how this works.
Why are you doing a handstand? What purpose does that serve?
I have no idea. The arm seems to do its own thing. I don't know. I didn't have it before.
Well, that's concerning. Do you normally attach adamantium arms, Doc?
What? No. What? What kind of devil magic is that? No. No, I am a man of faith and a man of the medical practice. I give life. I don't install metal atrocities on people.
Yeah, well, that atrocity gets worse.
Almost killed Bar earlier.
Right. Oh, well, if you say that there is no way to go this way, I guess we'll have to make our way back up to the 11th floor and take the sky bridge over to the left tower and hope for better results on the other side.
I guess there's no way down, so...
Well,
unless you
feel
like jumping.
Not particularly, no.
Like, I could get down there fine, it's just there's no doorway through, and I don't feel like digging through 10 foot of rubble.
No, and that's probably quite grisly as well. What's underneath it as well, so.
Yeah, it's more like a Tuesday for me.
Well, right then. Let's go. Skybridge, you say, Doctor, yeah? Okay.
Wyatt, since you were in the back of the group, you are now in the lead.
Yay!
As you all turn around and begin to head back up one floor from the 10th floor staircase and head up to the 11th floor. And okay. As you do, Wyatt, can you make me an investigation check? As you reach the door and put your face up to the glass to see if you can see anything.
Let's see if there's any plague.
What awaits our gang as they enter floor 11 to make their way towards the sky bridge? And what is really going on in this hospital? What caused this lockdown that has trapped the gang here with Dr. Dorian McSteamy? What will befall our gang of Detective Wyatt Stanton, Avery, Damien, and Virian? You'll have to tune in next time to Dungeons & Junkies Presents Escape from Wolfheim. podcast is brought to you by me, Chad, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Mad Attack Productions.